Welcome to LOA Today. Walt Thiessen and life coach Tom Wells here. Today is Friday, January 26, 2018. Happy Friday, everybody. It's 8 a.m. Eastern Time, our first daily dose of happy for the day. And Tom, we haven't talked since Monday, but I hope you've been having a good week. Has it been a good one?
Yeah, it's been a great one. I made some changes in my life that I feel really good about.
Excellent. Well, that's the kind of thing we'd like to hear, especially when we're talking about the topic we're going to be talking about today, which is what happens when the changes you're asking for don't seem to happen. So if you're making changes, that's a good thing.
Yeah. I decided last Monday I was just in my house working on my usual everything and feeling that I wasn't in that energy of high, flowing, good-feeling energy that I needed to feel, and I realized that I wasn't getting out enough. And so I was looking at my emails, and it just happened that evening there was a comedy improv class that was starting in my community, and I had done some comedy improv classes last year and really enjoyed them.
Oh.
And I hadn't planned on doing any more, but I thought, well, that's a great way to get me out, and not only but constantly interacting with people for 2 hours in a really joyful way, you know, in a very engaging, joyful way. And I went to the class and paid for 8 classes, and it was so much fun. It just amplified my energy to such a great level. And so it just feels good to do something that, you know, gets my satisfaction level higher.
Oh, absolutely. So
really,
this is a class where, what is it, you're learning comedy? What are you doing? I don't understand.
Yeah, I took 3 different series of learning comedy improv, you know, beginning, intermediate, and advanced. And this is another, you know, intermediate type of class, but it's you get together with 8 or 10 people, and there's an instructor, and there's all kinds of exercises and fun things you can do. And you do these scenes together in all kinds of different fashions. You do, you know, these impromptu, improvisationary scenes, and you get to practice being all these different characters. You get to play, basically. There's a whole lot of games we play. Everything is about getting incredibly spontaneous and into the moment is what it's all about, and totally trusting your fun, playful side to carry you through all these different scenes and things that are created. So you're creating with these other people.
All right.
It's a blast.
Well, that's cool. That's very good. And I have to admit, I love the idea that it's comedy, because laughter has always been one of my favorite things to engage in, just to get myself to a higher vibrational level. So that, you know, you're doing this whole class where, I mean, there's got to be a lot of laughter going on. That's helpful on so many different levels, because not only is laughter good for getting your mood up, but it's healing. It has tremendous healing benefits. It is contagious. Yeah. That's one of the things, of course, that if you're doing stand-up comedy, you're trying to get happening, right? You're trying to get the contagiousness going so that, you know, the laughter just keeps rolling and rolling, and you're just hitting them with more and more and more to keep it going. I mean, it's just there's nothing negative about it, unless it's the type of comedy you're doing and it's all in the toilet. But if it's happy comedy, it's wonderful.
And, you know, you don't necessarily even try to make it comedy. I do ask myself that in scenes, you know, like, what's funny about this? But the main thing is to go into the scene and be yourself so fully, be so relaxed about what you're going to say next, or whatever you're picking up on, that you're just noticing things. And as you do that, the comedy just sort of originates out of that. It comes out of just being, or say, picking a character, you know, you pick a particular attitude you're going to bring to a scene. Like, I'm going to be, you know, really self-confident in this scene, or I'm going to be really cranky in this scene. And when you do that, and maybe you're a particular person, you know, I'm a farmer, or I'm an actor, or I'm, you know, you bring that to the scene, or a particular gesture you're going to make, the way you're going to hold your mouth, or something like that. And it informs the whole scene, and it makes it really interesting. It just unfolds naturally from that, from those things that you do.
That sounds like a really, cool way to engage in comedy improv, because what the instructor is, sounds like the instructor is just trying to get you to feel relaxed on stage. And when you're feeling relaxed, you're going to just kind of naturally tap into stuff. I guess that's the theory of it, isn't it?
That's really what it is. And it teaches you how to do that in your normal day-to-day life, too, because I started realizing after doing enough comedy improv that every scene I'm in with anybody, whether it's at the store or at my friend's house or anywhere, I'm constantly just making up whatever's happening next. And start realizing when you do comedy improv that you get a lot more lighthearted about everything that's happening because you realize it's all just your own creation. You're constantly creating the scenes of your life.
Okay. Yeah.
It's a good reminder.
Yeah, it sounds like a good reminder. It must have been a little bit strange, though, the first time that you unintentionally got a laugh, because I would think that would happen. I mean, you're just playing your role. You're playing the scene. All of a sudden, you get a laugh. You're like, what happened?
It still happens. I mean, we were doing that the other night. I hadn't been back to do this kind of work for about a year, and I was immediately saying and doing things that were cracking people up, and it was. I realized I was about twice as lighthearted as I was last year when I was doing it, and that's just over the last year. I've become that much more lighthearted, and the things that I was saying were just that much more fun because I wasn't afraid to make mistakes. And when it's like most of the laughs I got on Monday night came when I just did completely made mistakes, you know, because in comedy improv, there's no such thing as making a mistake.
Yeah,
you know,
sure.
Whatever you do is okay. Everybody just celebrates whatever you do.
Well, that's one of the things we laugh at. We laugh at mistakes because we're laughing at our own mistakes when we're doing it. I mean, we're all familiar with it. It's a very human thing to make mistakes. So, of course, we laugh at it.
Yeah. If you can take it lightly.
Yes.
Yeah, because, like, there was one guy there who's brand new to it, and you could tell he had a part of his personality where he didn't take lightly when he got laughed at, you know, or when he wasn't doing it as good as the other people, you know. And so he was evaluating himself and judging himself in reference to everybody else, and I felt like it was hard for him. Mm. You know, he was letting go, but then he was holding on, then he was letting go, and then he was holding on, which is entirely our topic today. You know?
It is, yeah, and you're the one who came up with it. It's an appropriate topic in my life, too, for a number of different reasons, but I'll get into some of that during the conversation. Why don't you introduce it, tell people where it came from and what we're talking about.
Yeah, well, this is about manifesting, and why is it sometimes seem like things take forever to get what we want? You know, say we want to make an extra $100,000, or we're really trying to find a life partner, but it's taking forever. You know, we've been dating for years and years, or we've been thinking about having this money for so long. Why is it taking so long? Why isn't that money in our bank account? Or whatever we want, a job, you know, a new car, whatever it is. And one of the biggest reasons that it doesn't come is the same reason that I was expressing with this guy in comedy improv, or when I've been in the same place that he is, which is because we stop and we start. We want it to come quicker because we think it's coming too slow and it's too hard to get it, right? It's taking too long. It seems difficult. And so we're focused on that. And again, it's like the conversation we had the other week when we talked about lack versus abundance. If we're focused on it taking too long and we're focused on how hard it is, then that's what we're going to get more of over and over and over again.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes it, like in comedy improv, it makes it really hard to have a flowing, fun, laughing, happy scene when one of the characters is trying too hard. Because if one of the actors is constantly thinking about what they're going to say next and how they can make it funny and how they can relax more and why is it hard for me to relax in this scene and come up with something cool that's funny and flow with what my partner's coming up with, then they're going to keep botching the scene. It's going to keep making it difficult. You know, so it's the same thing in our lives. When we want something to manifest, if we're trying too hard, then that's when it doesn't come. So the whole key to manifesting is that we've got to let ourselves relax and know that this thing that we want is already in our vortex. And so our inner being, our higher source self, already is reveling in the beauty and the joy and the fulfillment of having that thing that we want. And so what we need to do is get into the fact of, well, how can I get into that sense that I already have this thing. And one way to get there is by already starting to feel the feelings of how we have that thing in our life. Like if we want an extra $100,000, we've got to begin to think about the journey of getting there and how are we already enjoying prosperity in our lives? Where are we already feeling blessings in our lives? And so it all begins with the moment of right now, coming to terms with our, like, what is wonderful in my life already?
Mm-hmm.
We've talked about this every podcast. You know, what do I appreciate already about what's happening in my life?
Right.
And to the degree that we can count our blessings and really get into the satisfaction of our life, like when you're doing comedy improv, you've got to get into the satisfaction of playing with the other people in the scene. It's got to be, you just have to enjoy whatever is being created. And I really think it's the key to manifesting what we want is becoming so happy about our lives right now that it's not dependent on some future time when we finally have the thing. You know, we're not so worried about when I finally have the partner I want, when I finally have the $100,000 in the bank, then I can relax. Then I can have fun because now I can do all the things I wanted to do with that money. But the fact of the matter is the money won't come, the partner won't come till we start having fun now.
Very
true. So anyway, that's a long introduction, but that's basically what we're talking about here.
Now, I want to ask you something.
So what do you think about that?
I think you're spot on. I think you're hitting exactly the right tones. I want to ask you something that's a little bit off the beaten track because it's not the kind of thing that most people run into. But I've run into it just because I've been interacting with a lot of people who are into law of attraction lately. And One of the phenomena I've run into is people who, if they're asked something like, well, how do I manifest $100 million? Their response is, oh, it's simple. You just ask for it, you receive, you believe it, and you receive it, which is strictly true.
Yeah.
Strictly speaking, that's true.
Yeah.
But of course, the reality is, almost everybody who tries to do that fails to manifest $100 million.
Right.
So the question becomes, well, why didn't it manifest? I mean, especially why didn't it manifest for the people who say, well, all you have to do is, you know, ask, receive, and believe.
Yeah. And so what do you think is the reason?
Well, I think the main reason is we have built-in resistances, limiting beliefs, and we allow those to get in the way. And what we're really trying to learn is how to put aside our limiting beliefs, and you know that's going to be a different challenge for every person, but that's basically what we're trying to deal with. We're trying to put those aside, and the best ways that I know of to do that are kind of like what you were talking about, which is get yourself into the happy place, focus on what you appreciate, on what you're grateful for, and basically discipline your mind over time to stay focused on what it is that you want and take it off the stuff that you don't want, which includes all the stuff that are doubt-based and limited in your belief and so forth. What do you think?
I really think that the thing is that you've got to enjoy the journey of your life, period.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you've got to create a life that the relationship between you and you is becoming happier all the time, in a sense, slow. So it started just one moment at a time.
We should define you and you because people may not have heard that phrase before.
Well, what I mean by that is, you know, you've got this sense of that there's an infinite being that you are, you know, that we come into this life and that we are actually much more than just a limited ego that is just going to live a life and die and there's something grander going on here. There's a huge benefit to this universe and to who we are and our relationship to our larger self, to something that you might call God, to something that you might call your infinite self, you might call your inner being, your source self, that there's a wonderful relationship that's always afoot every moment. There's something magical happening every moment in this life. And, you know, you look at like your breath, you know, the fact that you're even alive, The fact that your body is functioning, the fact that we have all that we have, you know, the blue sky, the sunshine, the water we're drinking, the food we're eating, the earth we're standing on. There's so much about who we are to be appreciated that if we get into that relationship moment by moment by moment, that there's a joy to be brought alive. There's a satisfaction to be felt. And the thing of counting your blessings, you know, you get out a piece of paper or a notebook, you start writing on each line something that you appreciate about your life. And you really are counting the blessings of being alive in this moment. And fortunately or unfortunately, I think it's fortunately, our happiness of getting the $100 million begins right now in this moment. It's the journey that we're on and our satisfaction of being on that journey that's going to eventually bring about everything that we want.
Very good.
It'll all unfold one wonderful experience after another wonderful experience. Mm-hmm. And you can't have the next moment be a wonderful experience if this one isn't a wonderful experience.
Yes.
So the degree that I'm focused on it being a struggle and difficult and hard and slow and when are my good times coming, to that degree that I'm focused on that, I'm not focused on anything that's going to bring me more of what I want.
Absolutely. Yeah, I agree.
So how can we do things, say things, think things, imagine things, write about things, focus on things that are what we want, and take our focus, turn away from it being hard and slow and difficult and a struggle.
Exactly.
You know, how can we turn away constantly and turn towards a more happy journey?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why when I chose last Monday to go out and do comedy improv that evening, it was because I was sitting in my condo thinking of, you know, feeling that I was overwhelmed with all the stuff I have to do, and I'm overwhelmed with the sense of when am I going to get, you know, more of what I want in different areas of my life, and it sort of felt oppressive. And I said, I've got to get up and out of here and go hang out with people and have fun. And that's exactly what the universe provided me. And that's why that's such a great win, because it just happened. The class was starting that Monday night, you know, and I didn't know it till I looked at my emails and I go, oh, wow, I can go do that. You know,
I think that's really cool, too, that I mean, you're kind of a master at this, so I'm not really surprised. But anytime somebody is able to recognize that they're not in the ideal place and they take action to not only shift their position, but also to shift what's going on with their inner being by doing things like expressing gratitude, appreciating all the good things in life and so forth, like you were describing, that's a victory. What you're saying your victory was. You recognized it. You took the internal action and you took the external action by going to the class. You did both. And that process was the victory, the fact that you did that. Because so often we don't do that.
Right. Yeah, you do one little thing that brings you more sense of a happy journey, and that's when the impulses come, that's when the ideas come for the next thing. You know, that the universe, I mean, our vortex already has, say the vortex already has $100,000 in it, and you want that extra $100,000, and it's believable. You know, you believe it, and it seems logical that you could get that $100,000. And so you look at your life, and you go, well, where do I already feel prosperous? What are the feelings I want to have when I get the $100,000? Well, the feelings that I want to have are great relief, great satisfaction, but it's really the things I want to do with it. So it's the experiences, the little experiences I'm going to have throughout every day when I have the $100,000. Say I'm going to go on a great trip. Well, it's the things I'm going to do when I'm in Mexico or wherever I'm going, you know, that are going to be fun. So the same thing to get to the $100,000, it's all the little experiences along the way that add up to a great life that then one day the next logical thing is, here's my $100,000. See, the thing that we want has to become the next logical thing by us having a good life. And I work with all my clients on this one thing. It really is, you know, they come wanting to have some big thing take place. And as we unwind their life, we start realizing they're not having fun. they're not enjoying this journey. They're just thinking that when they finally get the thing they want, when the guy finally gets his girlfriend back, or when the person finally has a certain amount of money in the bank, then they're going to finally feel relief, and then they can be happy. Then they can relax.
Which we all fall into at one point or another.
That attraction, yeah.
That's a trap we all fall into.
We all fall into it every day.
Sure.
You know?
And yet it's what we're trying to, we're trying to retrain ourselves to understand that we've reversed the order. Not intentionally. It's not like we were deliberately, you know, trying to ruin our heads or something, but we reversed the order.
Yeah. How can we convince ourselves that that we can be happy before we have the extra 100,000? We can be happy before our wonderful partner shows up.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that there's a, you know, like, or even if you're having a problem with your own spouse, you're already married and you want something to really change in that relationship. Well, the best way to change it is for you to get happier and happier every day. It isn't that you can necessarily change your spouse. You know, you can't step into your spouse's shoes and make her or him happier by somehow willing it that they be happy, or by telling them they need to be happier. You know, we can't really change another person, but we can work on our own happiness little by little, moment by moment. And that's how we affect the environment around us. That's how, you know, another person can see our example of, wow, look at how he just knows how to keep turning towards happiness, and he keeps generating such a great feeling in his life. I could do the same thing.
Now, we should also address the role of belief in this.
Moment by moment.
Oh, it does, yeah. We should also address where belief comes into this, because belief plays a fairly important role in this whole process, and it sometimes gets stomped upon because, well, it's, you know, none of us really want to admit that our belief isn't as good as it could be, or you know, that we have doubts involved. So talk for a minute about belief. How do you see belief being integrated into the whole picture?
Well, for one thing, you have to believe that the thing you want is possible, you know, and then you have to believe in yourself. You know, self-worth is a really deep belief in the fact that you're worthy to have a fantastic life. That seems to be at the basis of tons of people's experiences, their own self-love.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, we have to have, in a sense, of a faith in things that we can't see. You know, we don't yet see that money in our account. We don't yet see that partner in bed next to us. And so it doesn't seem possible, but we have to have faith or belief that it is possible. And, I mean, for me, it's every day I've got to believe that I can turn a feeling of, say, negativity or boredom or anger at myself or frustration with how slow things are coming, I have to believe I can turn that into the life that I want today, you know, by simply, you know, getting out my notebook and writing things I appreciate, or sitting down and meditating and letting myself go to a place where I'm no longer so plagued by my thoughts telling me that things are difficult and that I've been struggling for months and months and I still don't have what I want. Every day belief is how I convince myself that living in the moment is where my whole life originates from, that every moment's a brand new chance to start my life over. Now, that takes belief, in my opinion. I've got to believe that.
You know,
if I'm going out on a walk, if I've been sitting in my living room feeling really like bummed out about how slow things are going and getting more clients, and I just say, I've got to get up and out of here, and I go to the front door and I walk out and lock my house and start walking, I've got to believe that those moments are brand new. I've got a brand new start. And I look at the sun and I look at the trees and I say, everything's possible. Everything's possible. And, you know, it's just not, it's how can we quit turning back towards our problematic life, you know, towards the things that we think are plaguing us. We've got to quit believing in that stuff, You know, that's where belief comes in. We got to believe in the opposite, you know.
And how often?
If we have really strong beliefs in it being difficult, right?
Oh, sure. Yeah. And how often do you think belief becomes one of the stumbling blocks that people have when they're dealing with this stuff? Is that like a minor thing that happens occasionally, or is that everybody, or, you know, where do you think that is on the spectrum?
Well, I think it's ever present in the sense that, you know, we're always needing to have faith in our own infinite capacity to change, our infinite capacity to shift, you know. So that's the whole thing of if every moment's brand new, then that means I have the potential to shift every moment into a better feeling place. You know, I could, and so I have to believe that's possible. I have to believe I could choose to feel better than I feel when I'm feeling bad.
Yeah, right.
If I'm just sitting there eating my food and I feel bummed out, you know, I got to believe that that can change. You know, I got to believe that when I eat the next bite or I get up and I walk over to the kitchen, that there can be a fresh perspective. I can open my heart. I can open my mind. I can relax a little bit more. What's a better feeling thought I could have? Mm-hmm. You know, what could I tell myself?
Yeah, I agree. And that's why I asked the question.
We're talking to ourselves all the time.
Exactly. We are talking to ourselves all the time. And the conversation, I think that's what I'm thinking about as I'm asking these questions about belief, because the internal conversation is never along one channel only. It's constantly bouncing around, you know? In fact, actually, it's something I'm actually trying to learn how to be a little bit more monomaniacal about my focus, because it's amazing just how often my thoughts go off in directions that I don't even intend to conceive of going in. And if you'd ask me in advance, do you want to go there? I would have said, no way, don't want to go there. But I do anyway, it really is an important thing, I think, to try to discipline your thoughts. But the fact is, our thoughts go off in all kinds of different directions, and it's not like we're always trying to create just one thing. We're not just trying to create, you know, manifesting money, and that's it. That's all we're interested in manifesting, and that's all we're interested in creating. No, we're creating in all different kinds of ways in our lives. So that creates a fabulous scenario in terms of all the different ways we can create, and in all the different ways that we interact, and all the different ways that we experience the contrast of life, so we can pick and choose, this is the part I like, this is the part I don't like. That's the fantastic part. On the other hand, it can be a little bit overwhelming at times, and I think that's where a lot of the belief issues come in. It becomes overwhelming because, wow, my thoughts are going off all kinds of directions, and, you know, which ones am I focusing on now, and which ones do I like, and which ones don't I like, and, oh, how do I get back to the ones that I like again? What were they again? You know what I mean?
So what do you do? What do you do with belief?
Well, most of the time I try not to worry about it. I try to get the worry out. And then I try to replace any tendency to worry with, like you were saying earlier, finding the stuff to appreciate, finding the stuff to feel good about. I try to maintain sort of like a backup list, if you will, of, you know, if I'm in not such a good space and I need to get myself into a good space, I'll go to my backup list, my tried and true things. You mentioned the comedy club. Laughter's always been one of my favorite things. And if I'm in a really rough spot, I'll go watch a good comedy routine. I have a few of them that I've really liked a lot over the years. Or if it's just a question of needing a breath of fresh air to kind of shake my mind off of something that I really shouldn't be focusing on, it's not, you know, to my benefit to focus on it, and it's around the time of day for one of my walks, I'll go out for my walk, put my plug my iPhone in, and listen to some positive music that make me feel really, really good. You know, so I'll go to my go-to list whenever I'm in a difficult spot. But if I'm in just like a normal spot throughout the day, my current routine is to try to, just before I do everything, get myself into alignment to some degree a little bit better than I was a second ago. Just find some way to, you know, find one nice, happy or joyful or even just positive thing, you know, even mildly positive thing to focus on for a moment, take a deep breath, and then go do whatever it is I'm going to do. And that kind of a mindful approach is one that I'm still learning to do. I can't say I have mastered that one yet. for me, the big victory was, you know, doing it 20% of the time, which was like much better than 0% of the time. And, you know, like last night, for instance, yesterday I was actually having a little trouble with with both my knees. My knees were feeling really stiff. I'm really not sure why. But I said to myself, well, I can see very quickly how that could spiral because I'll just keep focusing on, oh, they're stiff and it's painful to bend down and so forth. Like, oh. Well, I don't want to go there. So I focused instead on, okay, well, it's about time to go to bed. I'm going to focus on how great my knees are going to feel tomorrow morning. And I just started to you know, being appreciative for the fact that, hey, I can walk. I can walk. Mm-hmm. It's not like I've seen people who just can't hardly even walk. And I'm not among them. I can walk. I'm in great shape, you know, from that perspective. So focusing on that stuff and deliberately pulling my mind away from, oh, the knees are so painful and so uncomfortable, to I can walk and my knees are going to heal, and how great it's going to feel when those knees heal. In fact, I'm going to go to sleep, and when I wake up in the morning, my knees are going to feel so much better. And of course, when I woke up this morning, guess what? My knees felt so much better.
That's good. Yeah. It's amazing how much our mind is actually affecting the next moment and the next moment and the next moment by what we're telling ourselves.
Yes.
And that's what we believe, you know, and what we say. So what we say, if we talk more and more about things that are downstream instead of upstream, you know, like if the thing that we're talking about feels like there's resistance in it and feels like it's going over, say, the same problem again, or it's adding words to a problematic situation that's obviously just going to make it worse, you know, because it's not going to help. But, you know, we have a tendency to look at what is, and then we talk about what is, and, you know, like you do with your knees. I mean, it could be, I mean, I have a lot of little physical ailments that happen here and there, and I notice the same thing. If I put my focus on it being a problem, and I talk to friends or I talk to my own self about the problem side of it, then it'll obviously, it's going to exacerbate. It's going to get worse, most likely. Like if I go out on a walk and one of my knees starts hurting, which happened the other day, you know, I have a lot of ways I could talk about my knee hurting, and some of those ways aren't going to be helpful, and some of those ways are going to be helpful, just like you went through with your knees.
Mm-hmm.
Must be about something about getting older in knees, but but even that, you know, even that statement, you know, it's like
I'm not even sure that's true.
Is that an upstream statement, Tom? Or what's a downstream statement?
Yeah, right.
Well, my downstream statement, you know, is that, well, I'm actually only, like, I decided I'm going to be only 50 years old. You know, we had that podcast about, you know, longevity, and and Abraham had said, choose an age that you feel robust about, that you've had, that you feel healthy, robust, physically fit, and decide that you are that age and just stay there. And when I heard that and thought about that, I said, okay, and it's got to be an age that you can believe, you know, that seems believable to you. So I decided 50 was a wonderful age for me because I wasn't so young, but I wasn't so old. And I remember being incredibly physically fit at 50 and saying to myself, wow, I feel really great, even though I'm 50. And so I literally am going around now ever since that show we did about longevity, and I've been saying, I'm 50, you know, to myself. I haven't actually said it to anybody else. I might have said it in passing to somebody as a joke, you know, like me, but I knew I wasn't joking. They might have thought I was joking, but you know, and it's really just something that it's the same way that I treat what's in my vortex. You know, if I want an extra $100,000, I literally would like an extra $100,000 or $200,000 right now. And I would also like to meet, a partner that would be really fantastic for me, or just have really great dates where I'm on my way to meeting that partner who's really fantastic for me. And so I have to believe that it's in my vortex. So I believe that it's in my vortex that I can remain essentially 50 years old for indefinite amount of time. I also believe that this woman who I'm going to have as my partner is already in my vortex, and my extra 100,000 is already in my vortex. And to the degree to which I really own that and I own all the great feelings around it already being a done deal. That's how these things come about, you know, and yeah. then enjoying my life every day with the same feelings that I want to have once she's here, the same feelings I want to have once I have the $100,000, the same feelings I had when I was 50 years old and my body felt fantastic. We're training ourselves to be in those feeling places.
Yes, yes, absolutely true. And I think what we're doing here is we're also confirming the importance of believability. Because if you name something like you were talking about a believable age, I have to admit I kind of push my limits a little bit, but I do at least internally try to believe and try to focus on. I want to be like a 25-year-old body rather than a 50-year-old body. So I'm kind of aiming high, and it in a sense it stretches believability a little bit for me. But it's not that big of a stretch from my perspective anyway. It might be from somebody else's perspective. It's not a big stretch from my perspective, mm-hmm. simply because from my perspective, just feeling younger than what your age says in any way would be miraculous and would be wonderful and would be terrific. So to me, it's not a huge difference between asking for, I want to feel like I was when I was 50 versus I want to feel the way I was when I was 25. To me, they're very, very similar. So it's not like there's a huge gap there. But believability is important. Okay. If you reach for something that deep down you really don't believe in and you can't find a way to believe in it, you're kind of setting yourself up there.
Yeah. The thing that they say, Abraham says so much, is that all the things we want come from our getting ready to be ready to be ready to be ready to be ready.
Oh, I hadn't heard that one. That's good.
We're doing – pardon?
I hadn't heard that one. That's good.
Well – they said that it's got that when the thing comes that we want, it comes from being the next logical step. So, you know, it's got to feel natural to us. So when we set the goal, and when we arrive at the goal, it's really not the destination, the goal that was so important. It was the fact that in the getting ready to be ready to be ready to be ready, the taking all the steps towards that thing that we think is so important to finally have the $100,000. It's the journey of enjoying each step along the way, all the little experiences that lead to it, that then one day we just find there it is, you know, and that's how they describe we arrive at these things that we say we want so much. And it's sort of like so funny with me, with my clients and with myself, convincing a client that the thing that they want so badly is going to come from them having a happier life today and tomorrow and the next day. And it isn't always so focused on the day that they finally get that thing. We've talked about this, you know, many times, but it's really such an ironic and beautiful thing that really what life is asking us is to simply enjoy life. And the people that are really enjoying life, like you can talk to somebody who became a famous musician or anything, you know, they made a ton of money in business. They got there by one thing after another that they enjoyed that was a success, you know, like the famous singer got there by enjoying all the little gigs that she did along the way to get to where finally one day she's a big star,
mm-hmm.
but she didn't get there by just saying, I'm going to be a big star and just constantly focus. It's good that she could be focused on that. You
sure.
know, be,
oh yeah.
Be thinking about that, you know, like Jim Carrey, who supposedly made his $10 million because he would go sit up on Mulholland Drive in Los Angeles and look out over the city and picture having this $10 million.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
But Jim Carrey had to enjoy all the little gigs he did along the way to become that famous actor, to finally be in
Absolutely.
That movie that netted him $10 million. He had to be a fantastic actor all along the way, and so be having fun all along the way.
Yeah, enjoying the journey, because you're absolutely right about that. In fact, it's interesting that you mentioned Jim Carrey, because very early on in this podcast that I started back in 2012, it was early 2013, I think it was January, I interrupted, no, it may have been even the previous month, but it doesn't matter. I interviewed a gentleman who is a self-described trainer to the stars. And one of the stars that he worked with was Jim Carrey. And he was telling me about how Carrey is truly very much into this idea of the law of attraction and, you know, focusing on what you want and living the life, you know, living the journey and so forth. And it was actually one of the things he wanted, this guy's name was Carrey, the trainer. He wanted Gary to work with him on, because I think at the time that he was working with him, it was for the movie The Mask that he did a number of years ago. While they're training for that, he had to get into a very high degree of fitness to do that particular movie. Just because of all the stuff that he had to do, because I think he did all his own stunts in that. And as a result, he needed to get himself into a really high place of being in the moment and, you know, just part of what was going on. He had to live the role. He had to live the experience, both on set and off set, you know. And so he needed to be in a very high degree of fitness, but he also needed to have his brain, his mind, in a high degree of fitness as well. And that's what Gary was working with him on. And ultimately, we know the result. The movie came out fantastic. So clearly he succeeded in getting there, right? He clearly succeeded in just being in that moment, because that movie just was – that's probably one of the movies that really made him take off when you think about it. So that kind of underlines your point.
He got the 100,000. I mean, I think he got the 10 – the 10 million from Pet Detective. But
oh, did he? Okay. Yeah. I don't really know. I just know that was one of the movies.
He literally got handed the exact check that he had always pictured getting.
Was it?
He was literally handed the check for 10 million.
That's pretty cool.
Exactly what he had been picturing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's very cool. That's a cool story.
The thing that Abraham says is a lot is that it's when you start going for a particular goal, what you realize that it's the impulses and the incredible ideas and the fun, the process that you have along the way that literally becomes the thing that you wanted so badly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that once you're in, how good it feels like in the dating I've done over the last several years, I've talked about this before on the podcast, is that it's been the constant evolution of all these different women that I've met and the fun of watching how each different woman I've dated has been another wonderful expression of the process of who it is that I'm looking for. You know, mm-hmm. like each woman's been a beautiful human being that I've learned and received beautiful things from. And I've been able to share incredible conversations or, you know, some fun things we've done together. But each time I've found, well, but this isn't the person I'm really looking for. So then mm-hmm. it's sort of, well, I'll go out on another date. You know?
Right.
And I feel like that process has become a reward in itself. You know, instead of a frustration, it's become an exciting thing to think about who I might meet next. And knowing that the universe has got this all lined up for me, there's already the perfect partner is in my vortex. Now, sometimes I said to myself, gee, I wonder when she's going to come, because I sure thought that woman was going to be the one, you know, or that woman was going to be the one. That's only happened a couple times because, you know, usually I find out shortly after meeting somebody that it just, there's not enough things there that are really working for me for this to be a long-term relationship.
Mm-hmm.
But I have fun along the way.
Yeah. Yeah.
And they were saying, you know, if you want a certain amount of money, it isn't finally getting that money. It's, as we've said before in this conversation, it's the things that get sparked all along the way, all these different feelings and experiences that happen as you're headed towards that money. But yeah, believing entirely that it's there, that money is coming is a wonderful thing. And you can, if like lay down on your couch or sit down in your chair and picture what it'll be like once you have the money. But what you're going to be picturing is what? It's really going to be the experiences, that the fun things you're going to do with that money,
and the fun things that you're doing when you're up to that
wonderful trip.
Yeah.
Pardon?
And the fun things that you're doing up to the point where the money arrives. I mean, like in the Jim Carrey example, he was having a blast before the money arrived.
Yeah. He was doing all kinds of, he was on television shows like that in Living Color he was on, and you would watch him every week. He was having a blast.
He was.
Know?
Yeah.
Maybe more fun than he eventually had making the movies, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's funny how I went to my Tai Chi class last night, and the Tai Chi instructor was saying, you know, I've been doing this for 50 years and teaching this class. And he said, and it's the beginning classes that I enjoy more than anything, because it's when you learn the most basic fundamental principles, and they're almost like the most fun aspects of Tai Chi is when it's really, really simple.
Mm.
But you get into the more advanced and you're learning, you know, there's thousands of forms you can learn in Tai Chi, and it can become just so sophisticated that it's not as much fun.
Mm.
And I noticed that in taking comedy improv, that the beginning classes and the intermediate were a lot more fun than the advanced classes.
Mm-hmm.
Because everybody got so sophisticated that they wanted always to make it more complicated, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so I'm finding that it's the key to so many things that we want in our life are enjoying the beauty of the journey, and sometimes it's the simplicity of the journey that makes it beautiful. You know, like when we complicate it with, we think that we're going to be happier when things are more complicated, or when we have more and more and more. But you could ask lots of people who have a ton of money, did your life get more fun the more money you got? And for some people, no, it got more difficult because they had more to manage. I'm not saying it didn't. It's not fun for a lot of people. They have a ton of money. It is.
No, of course not. But on the other hand,
but the happiness comes from your relationship to you.
Yeah, right.
Know? And you, what you're experiencing every moment is how happy are you with you? That, you know, that's what matters.
And you mentioned people who do have
where
a lot of money.
Where all the joy really comes from.
On the other hand, there are a lot of stories of people who were like inheriting wealth, you know, that kind of thing. And because they didn't actually accumulate it themselves, it was just kind of handed to them. In that sense, it was manifested by them. But because they didn't understand their own process, they actually end up in rather miserable lives while the money is, you know, dissipating away. And it just is like a downward spiral that never ends. So just because you have the money doesn't necessarily mean you're happy. In fact, often it's not the case.
Yeah, it's exactly true. Yeah, your happiness is what you're experiencing in your relationship with yourself every moment. So if that's not a good relationship, I've known people who are incredibly poor that are really, really happy because that's their attitude.
Mm-hmm.
And I've known people that are really rich that are not very happy. I mean, I'm sure we all do. You know,
no, sure.
We're really rich, but they're not very happy because their attitude is, you know, that this is a struggle, and they're still trying to get more and more money to feel secure because they still don't feel secure, even if they have 10 times the amount of money that I have. You know, and I know people like that. They've come to me for coaching. I've had a multimillionaire come to me for coaching because he just didn't know how to be happy in certain aspects of his life, you know, that I'm not going to talk about. But, you know, it's like you could just see that it was just the way that he lived his life. He didn't yet know how not to struggle, but he was definitely knew how to make money, but he was still struggling, you know. And some people, sometimes I've watched like people that have a whole lot of money and their spouse knows how to enjoy the money better than they do, even though they're the one that made the money, but their spouse really knows how to enjoy it, but they still don't, you know?
Yeah.
And it's very much the personality of each of us, you know.
The other thing,
learning how to enjoy becomes everything.
The other thing that I've seen quite a bit, I'm sure you've seen it a lot, and you're kind of describing it really, is that it is a fairly common phenomenon for somebody to have achieved some level of success in one area of their life, like making money, but it could also be just in building their health up, or it could be in, you know, having great relationships, or, you know, it could be almost anything really. But just because they had success in one area doesn't mean they had success in other areas. And when you look closely, you find that there is, like you were describing, an ethos of struggle. So the belief is, well, the only way I can make that money is if I struggle. And I struggle hard, and I really, you know, put my nose to the grindstone and really go after it, and, you know, just throw myself into it, then I can make the money. Or the only way I can really meet the right person is if it's a struggle. And if I just, you know, I have to go out there, I have to date 1,000 women, and then I'll finally meet the one that I want. You know, that kind of a mindset. So it's not like people can't ever get to one of the goals that they're looking for in a way that doesn't include struggle. But what does happen is they find that they can't do it in other areas.
Mm-hmm.
You see what I mean?
Yeah. Results can be achieved by struggle and hard work. But sometimes they aren't that complete sense of satisfaction that we want of living a life well lived, you know, a life of true happiness, a life of true abundance, a life of true joy.
And I honestly don't think anyone can achieve all of them through struggle. I think if anybody ever tried to do that, they would probably burn out so fast they'd be dead at 30.
I think so too. I personally think kind of feel like that's what's going on with Donald Trump. Just my opinion, you know, is that there's a lot of struggle. There's a lot of struggle there, you know, to have it his way. And I don't know, you know, I just have a feeling that there's some burnout involved in that.
But I'm sure there will be.
I don't know. That's a whole other subject.
Yeah, we don't want to get into the politics too much, but he's an example from the perspective of how you can kind of burn yourself out, how you can, you know, harm yourself by working so hard on the struggle part. It's one of those things that has a bit of a balance to it. It's not like you want to say any time that you're struggling and failing that it's a bad thing to have failed. It's not a bad thing to have hit bottom. Those can be good things, especially if they're springboards to help you focus, to emerge and move upward the way you need to move up, to improve and escape the situation you put yourself into in the first place. So there's value in that for sure. The only real question that we're addressing here, I think, is do you want that to be your lifestyle? Do you want to live a life of struggle?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, clearly not.
I don't know. I'm done with the struggle. I went too far along that route, I can tell you. I mean, I spent, good grief, I'd have to say a total of 25, 30, 35 years struggle with my career, struggle with relationships. Got me absolutely nowhere. Well, it wasn't until I gave up the struggle that I actually started to get anywhere.
Mm-hmm.
And I imagine the story is very much similar for you.
Yeah, so how are you at manifesting?
I am getting better all the time. I mean, if I look at myself now compared to when I first became consciously aware of the law of attraction, which is about 10 years ago, a little under 10 years ago, when I first started out, I didn't get the best advice necessarily, and I was kind of flailing around and engaging in a lot of struggle, and it's taken me quite some time to reverse that and to replace it with trying to appreciate life and to feel good and enjoy and not take the struggle out and not take it all so seriously and so forth and just get into a more lighthearted pattern. And it's not something I've been able to do in one fell swoop, but you do these things kind of gradually. You do them incrementally, right? You kind of take one little step at a time, and over time, and you look back and you say, oh yeah, I really have made progress. So I don't really think of it as something where, okay, I was in one place and then boom, I went to another place. It's like you said, it's the journey, it's the movement, it's the self-development to learn how to live the more joyous life. That's where I've been focused for the last 10 years. How about you?
And if we wanted to get faster, if we want our manifestations to come faster, it's the degree that we can get more and more satisfaction in this moment.
Yeah.
I feel like you're saying, you know, you develop it because there's a fast moving stream there of in our vortex of everything that we want to the degree that we have gone through difficult times and struggling times. We've put a very fast current of the things we want is actually in our vortex. And to catch up to that current or to be in that current, it's the degree that we keep letting ourselves have satisfaction now. I'm finding that I have a tendency to turn back too many times to look at, you know, the fact that it's hard and slow.
Oh, sure. It's easy to do.
You know, it's like, And every time I turn back and look and think it's hard and slow, I'm mixing my vibration, and therefore it takes longer. Things take longer, you know. And then to the degree that I let go, I create this flowing momentum. Like as soon as I created the momentum of going to the Comedy Improv, you know, immediately a friend of mine contacted me and says, "Do you want to come over and play guitar?" And that hadn't happened for 2 months, but it used to happen more frequently. But I noticed how that momentum of going and playing guitar and having that fun came as soon as I went out and did the Comedy Improv fun.
Right, yeah.
And I find that that's how momentum builds. You do one fun thing, you do one happy thing, you do one satisfying thing, and it leads to the next satisfying thing. And that's why it's called follow your path of least resistance, because if throughout our day we're looking at what feels good now, what feels good now, what feels good now, and we keep following that, then it's going to build a momentum that's going to lead to the bigger and bigger things that we say we want.
And it's a really funny thing, too, because, as you say, the goal really is to live in the now, to live in, you know, and enjoy what's going on right now and find the beauty in it and find the happiness in it and find all the good things in it. And that could be a big thing right there, because it's so easy to be distracted from the now, like you were talking about. I mean, it's easy to look back. It's easy to constantly look back, like, okay, this is how far I've gotten. Why haven't I gotten so far? Or to look into the future and, like, this is where I want to be. Why haven't I gotten there? And so forth. And to forget to focus on the now. And then once you do focus on the now and you start thinking about all that good stuff that happens, then all of a sudden the good stuff happens. Like you were describing, you were doing one good thing and all of a sudden another good thing showed up. Now, that didn't happen the day before when you were focusing on what happened, you know, last year, what happened 3 years ago or whatever. But it happened today when you started to focus on today. It's just amazing how that process works, how when we manage to get ourselves to just stay right where we are and to enjoy where we are right now, stuff starts to happen. When we lose that focus, stuff stops happening the way we hope it will.
Yeah, right on.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
It's a crazy thing.
Yeah, when we go general, too, you know, when we just go general and just like I did, I went general and just went and did the Comedy Improv, and it just opens up all kinds of things in my life.
Mm-hmm.
To come back. And when we feel good, when we feel high, when we feel happy, that's when everything starts to flow.
Yeah.
You know, when we're feeling really good inside. And so what can we do to feel better, you know, to tell a better feeling story, to do something that feels better, to think thoughts about already having the thing we want and how good it's going to feel. No.
So if we had to limit our answer to the question for today, what do you do when stuff's not manifesting? I guess the real quick answer is you focus on enjoying right now.
Get more satisfaction going on in your life right now.
Yeah, so that's a good thing. We've got about 2 minutes left. I just want to remind people, if you have not yet subscribed to the podcast, please do so. Those people who are subscribing are really finding it's paying off. They are getting their daily doses of happy, and now it's twice daily, Monday through Friday, plus one on Sunday. And we're seeing it in terms of the numbers of people who actually play the podcast. I mean, on average, a unique listener will listen to, last month the average was 22 podcasts. This month, Tom, the average is up to 25 podcasts. It keeps growing every month. So, you know, if you haven't subscribed, please just subscribe. It's really very worthwhile. Easy to do on your iPhone. With any phone, you can just go right to loatoday.net. On your iPhone, it's really easy because you have the podcast software built in, and you can do it either through that or through the iTunes store. Just do a search on LOA Today, or even in your podcast software, do a search on LOA Today. If you have an Android phone, such as a Motorola or, you know, like a Samsung or Nokia or one of those Android phones, you have to go to the Play Store first and download some podcast software. Podcast Manager is one of the good apps you can use. It's a free one. And then through the app, do a search for LOA Today. And Tom, if someone's looking for a little assistance with, you know, I'm just stumbling on staying in the now right now, and so I'm not manifesting stuff, how do they reach you for that kind of assistance?
I have a website called yourjoy.com. That's the three words, yourjoy.com. And then on that website, there's a page to sign up for a free coaching session with me for 1 hour coaching session. And from there, you could decide if you wanted to do further coaching with me, but that 1 hour can be pretty wonderful too.
Excellent. Tom, this has been great. Let's you and I do it again on Monday. What do you say?
Oh, yeah, I think I'd love to, Walt.
All right,
have a wonderful weekend, everybody.
You do the same, and we'll see you all next time here on LOA Today. Goodbye, everybody.